Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Goatee Food Podcast. Today we're joined by a viral sensation, a superstar, whatever you want to call him. When most people say Fraser Sale, you may go like, well, who? Yeah, and then suddenly you go, wait a second, Sensational Sandwiches, 1.2 million followers. About to say Rogue Sarnies there for some reason. I've been reading a lot about Sarnies, but obviously you're Mr. Sensational Sandwiches. Fraser, welcome. How did you fall in love with making the most outrageous yet delicious sandwiches I've ever seen on Instagram?
Straight into the deep end of that question. How do I fall in love with it? I mean, it's a bit.
How did it come about?
Yeah, it's a bit of a journey, really. So I learned how to cook on my ski season back in like 20. Yeah.
Saw that on your LinkedIn. I was going to ask you about that.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, yeah. mate, we don't fuck around with research here.
Yeah,
we
no. I was kind of expecting you to ask me some questions, but then when I was walking on my way here, and like I was like, they haven't asked me anything about me. Like, what? Where have they got their info?
Freddy's forensic.
Yeah. A good outdated place. but yeah, on my ski season, so we had this 2-day crash course. So obviously, we cooked for 4.5 months. It was 14 people, 5 courses every evening, 6 nights a week, as well as breakfast and afternoon tea.
And you had 2 days of training?
I had 2 days of training.
5 courses?
Yeah, so before that, I hated cooking because I didn't know how to cook, and I'd make food and I'd be eating it and I'd be like, this is fucking shit.
Yeah, right.
And everyone would be like, no, this is so, like, the broccoli's amazing. And I'd be like, it's wet. It's overcooked. And people, like, I could just tell that people were just trying to make me feel good. And I hated that.
Yeah. Mm.
I hated cooking when I knew that it was rubbish and other people were just trying to make it. So I just refused. Like, my mum was very good when we were younger at being like, today's your, like, cooking day. Like, you're taking the bins out, type of thing. And I just refuse. She'd be like, why? And I was like, I'm not, because I can't cook.
Yeah, you know, right.
I can't cook, so I won't. Anyway, got to my ski season and had probably 2 of the most, in hindsight, important and effective days of training that I've ever had. And I think, like, a lot of it comes down to French cuisine and just like understanding seasoning and like the basis of building flavor. You know, I'm not a chef. I don't claim to be. And initially when I started, a lot of the sort of hate comments, which is like on a lot of my videos, was about like how I cook. I'm like, I'm a dude. You know what I mean? I'm making sandwiches. I know my way around a chopping board and whatnot, but I'm a fucking dude.
What, people just picking holes in what you were doing?
Yeah, just like, oh, you don't do it like that. And I'm just like, tell me how you do it then. Because I don't really know.
Also, like, well, I do it like this.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like,
I'm making my sandwich. And
yeah,
how
yeah,
I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's my
got over 1.2 million followers on socials. Give me a fucking
yeah. Break. Something's going right.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, got these 2 days of training, and they literally showed us like 3 of the 7 meals that were on the thing. It was like, after those 2 days, go and sort it out, go and work it out for yourself. So I did the season, got really into it, got into the cooking. By the end of it was literally like chopping onions with my eyes closed. I reckon I did about 0.5 ton. Maybe like of onions. It was ridiculous. I don't cry when I chop onions anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's like my tear ducts have been sealed
yeah,
shut or something like
seared,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did my season and then didn't do any cooking, none of it, until the pandemic came. So I feel like a lot of the stories of people that have come into the sort of limelight recently will be around the pandemic, because it gave it was obviously a really difficult time, but also like a really unique opportunity to people that kind of needed time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it gave me this opportunity, and I actually started a clothing brand. Yeah, so I've always wanted to work for myself. And before the pandemic, I was setting up a travel blog called Trail of Thought. Pandemic happened.
Nightmare time.
Exactly. Literally, like, travel became pretty much redundant. So I scratched that and revisited a brand idea that I created when I was on my ski season. So one of the 2 things that I did on my season, I started, which was my clothing brand. And alongside that, just for shits and gigs, I created an Instagram called Fraser Makes Food. And I was literally just like, I've got so much time that I might as well be taking photos of this food that I'm making. And I'm spending so much time making because I have so much time.
Yeah.
50 followers, nothing big. Like, my mates would sort of message me and I'm flying low.
That's okay.
Oh. I thought that was a flex, maybe. Dude, you know, have you become so successful?
Yeah, like, magic.
Yeah, just do you, man.
Yeah.
50 followers, just my mates. They all really enjoyed it, though. Like, I started doing like stories of like step one. Then I got made redundant, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now I've got a business that's like sucking money out of my account every month, and it wasn't going well. Like, you know, I started a clothing brand during a pandemic, and with all the best will in the world, it wasn't, in hindsight, what I wanted to do. I wanted to work for myself and do something that I loved. And at the time, I thought that was it. But it very quickly sort of turned into something else. Supply costs, leaving the EU, all that stuff kind of levered into it. But I got a job delivering for Asda. Yeah. So I was an Asda delivery driver.
Still during the pandemic now?
Yeah. So this is like 9 months after the first lockdown. Yeah. So I started delivering for Asda. And in the summer, it was a pretty chill job, not going to lie. I did four shifts a week, probably a total of about 20 hours, and I made like £750 a month.
Whoa.
So not a lot at all. And obviously, like, the costs that were coming from my business were pretty extortionate in comparison to what I was making. Down the line, basically, like, I got super depressed. Like, that kind of, you know, the being an editor, which is something I really wanted to do, then doing my travel blog, and then the pandemic, and like, it's just so topsy-turvy emotionally, and just being plunged into this role that was so far from anything else I was doing before that,
yeah.
But such a necessity just wore on me. And like, as a creative, when I'm in that headspace, creation, there's no room for creativity.
No.
It's just like survival mode. So Phrase Makes Food basically just took a back seat. And I stopped it. So I was at Asda for a year and I quit on the spot one day.
That must have felt quite nice.
Bro, yeah, for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm still running this business.
What have I done?
I'm still running this business and now I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
Like, there's no money coming in. So I then had like the maddest 3 weeks of my life job hunting. Just signed up to like 4 agencies. And I think I had 13 interviews. I was turning up to interviews just being like, so like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, like, I've just come off the back of 3 interviews. Like,
yeah. What's this?
Who's this? And I got the job that I currently am still at.
So congratulations.
Like 9 to 5. Yeah.
What's that?
I'm a marketing manager.
Okay, awesome.
So yeah, I've kind of...
You haven't gone to Ocado and started like attacking them from the other side.
It's farm insurance.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, farm insurance.
Yeah, so I started as a marketing exec and then have been promoted a couple of times, which has been great.
That's awesome.
I moved to Cheltenham when I quit at Asda to start this new job. I lived in Cheltenham for a year and then I realized all my mates live in Bristol. Why the fuck am I in Cheltenham?
Yeah, good question.
And the job that I was at, this current place that I work at, they were flexible with working from home. So I just said to them, I'm moving down to Bristol. Is there an expectation to commute? And they were like, no, not really. So I went down to Bristol and it was when I moved in with my mates there that they were like, what the fuck happened to Phrase Makes Food? Full circle, there it is. What the fuck happened? And I was like, I just told them, I was like, yeah, I just didn't have the sort of beans for it at the time. And they were like, well, let's do it. So we had this silly little couple of weeks where we were doing like collabs and like making food together. At this point, I was like, this is what I like to do. Yeah, I'm interested in this. And you must have heard of Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously based in Bristol, one of my best mates.
About to open in London, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And no offense to them, I was looking at it and I was like, I feel like I can do better.
Yeah.
Or at least I can do this a bit differently. So I just went home and I started making sandwiches. And one of the first sandwiches that I made was a roast dinner sandwich that I made for my mum. And it was everything that you'd have in a roast in a sandwich with a massive gravy dipping pot. Didn't go anywhere online. I made a couple of other sandwiches that were just sort of for fucking around with. And then like February last year, I uploaded my Caprese.
Yeah.
Right? How the fuck do you say it?
Caprese.
I still don't know. I still don't know. And I think part of like why that video did so well is because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the context of that. I upload the video before me and my mates were all due to go skiing. Upload the video, I'm in London, get back to Bristol, go out for some beers with my mates. It turns into an all fucking nighter.
Mm.
And we just straight through from when I got there to when we caught the plane to go skiing, right? I didn't actually check my phone until the morning after we arrived in the ski resort. Because as soon as we got there, we just started drinking basically.
Yeah.
And I woke up in the morning, bleary eyed, and my phone was just like alive. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I click on the bottom right of my phone, click on TikTok, and it's like 72,000 notifications.
Jesus.
And I'm like, bro, it's broken. Like something's gone on or whatever. And I click on it, go onto the video, and it's got like 230,000 likes and 2.5 million views or something.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? And I'm just like what's going on? Trying to get, they're all looking at it, they're like, yeah, fuck. And I'm just like, whoa. So that was it. That was like, that's like, you know, patient zero of...
Prior to that, what sort of traction were the videos getting and like how many had there been of them?
So I think prior to that, there'd been 2.
Right.
And on TikTok, you know, one of them did 15,000. And I remember like, 15,000 views.
That's pretty good.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Instagram, I'll tell you about Instagram, it just took ages to take off. But the growth on there has been like mad considering that. But yeah, so first video roughly on TikTok goes live around middle of January. By the end of Feb, I had 150,000 followers. And I was just like...
That's insane.
And then like all these conversations that you just like, that start happening.
Yeah.
You just
how do I make money from these?
Yeah,
followers?
Yeah. Like, yeah. If I'm honest, it was very much like, okay, so this is a thing now.
Keep feeding the beast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is literally like that. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Literally, for the last 16, 17 months, I've made a sandwich every single week and edited that video.
Do you eat the sandwich? Because I'm worried about your cholesterol if you do. You're looking very good.
Thank you, yeah.
But I'm worried.
People say this.
Do you eat them or?
I used to be able to scran the whole thing.
Right.
And it's only recently that I look at half of it and I'm like, I'll have half a half. Do you know what I mean?
It's like your mate El Burrito, a monster, isn't it?
Yeah,
surely he can't eat all that because he'd be dead.
Yeah, he literally started with, when he started his videos, he would eat the whole thing. And then he started eating half. And I think nowadays it's like, you are producing... That was the kind of like headspace shift that was really interesting, is that you realize you're not making food, you're making content.
Mm. Yeah.
And those are two very different things. So like when I used to construct the sandwich quite sort of particularly and film that and then edit it. And I found that when I'm editing a video and everything's quite particular, there's no moment to work around from like from my perspective, but also viewers. Whereas if I just like throw the food down, then that's the moment.
Yeah.
So it makes it much easier to edit.
What mic are you using for the ASMR sound? You must have invested in a pretty good one.
Yeah, just the DJIs.
Yeah, sounds good.
They are, they're decent.
Important.
And yeah, I think
who would have thought you'd be thinking about mic sound for sandwiches, throwing them down 2 years ago?
Literally, mate. If you'd said, if any of this was said 2 years ago, I'd have been like, you're having an absolute laugh. I'm running a clothing brand. What are you talking about?
Well, you and Ben have a lot in common because Ben used to run a clothing brand. He moved into sandwiches, wrote a Sunday Times bestseller, Maxi Sandwich book. And now, and also you've done a bit of editing. So you're basically the
same. Yeah.
So, yeah, you've had a lot more success than me.
So far.
Yeah.
Well, there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow.
You haven't written a book yet, then, have you? Sunday Times bestseller? You can't.
No, not many people have written Sunday Times.
No, not yet.
No, true. Not yet. Tell us about your best sandwich you've ever made. What is it? You've made so many, but...
So last year I made best sandwich in the world. Won an award for that.
Oh, right. I thought it was like Tenacious D.
Myself. So I got into a competition with a brand and they were basically running this worldwide thing for whoever can make the best sandwich. And I submitted what is to this day still my favorite, which was a Mediterranean lamb, roasted red pepper, caramelized onion, whipped feta sandwich.
What bread?
Sourdough. Always sourdough.
Always sourdough.
So like,
Max's sandwich shop's got a sign when you walk in says fuck sourdough.
Yeah, I mean like fine, but I fucking love sourdough. Okay. Also like there's two perspectives for me when it comes to my sandwiches. The first is the taste, the second is the aesthetic. You can't, you know, you lick your screen as much as you want, you're not going to taste that sandwich. A sourdough provides such a good foundation for wet food, dry food, heavy food that you can like put basically whatever you want in between sourdough and it's not going to have a problem.
Perfect vehicle.
Exactly. Whereas if you start looking at like white and brown, like granary or whatever, number one, granary's a bit dead, but it just soaks up so much juice that you kind of get that flat spot in the bottom of the sandwich wherever the sort of juices gather.
So that one best sandwich in the world?
Last year,
that's
yeah.
Incredible.
It did. Thank you. Yeah.
I must say, I was a bit insulted when I saw you get on the vibe of chopped salad, chopped sandwiches.
I mean, of course.
I was looking through and going, like, is he going to give in to chopped salad? It does work in a sandwich, I suppose.
Yeah.
But fucking up, Mob, give it a break, will you?
Yeah. They're doing the chopped salads at the moment, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, whatever you want to do, you want to do, right? But I did resist for a little while. But then I just saw them and they were getting better. I think that was the thing. I saw chopped sandwiches getting better. And I was like, at this point, I almost feel like people are expecting it of me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's sensational sandwiches. People log in every week. Log in, fucking hell. How old am I? Is that like a boomer?
Log in their wire.
Yeah, and dial up the internet. But obviously just to check in.
You got yourself, Rogue Sarnie's, Chats with Bakehouse, even like El Burrito Monster to a certain degree. Like a lot of people, like sandwiches are fucking hot.
They
hot,
are,
hot
mate.
Right
yeah.
Now.
There's a wave.
When you come up with something, you say aesthetic and taste very important for you. Do you adhere to the six principles which Max Alley came up with, which is sort of sweet, sour, soft,
crunchy, soft,
if I can't remember, hot, cold?
Hot, cold.
Mate, I don't really adhere to anything.
Like, how do you come up with a sandwich?
Would I want to eat that? Now, when I look at a sandwich, I'm like, can I make a minute out of that? Especially if it's just like a how-to or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's literally just sandwiches that I want to eat. And a lot of the time, it's... you know, I get a lot of vegans being like, where's the vegan sandwiches? And a lot of vegetarians being like, where's the veggie sandwich? I have nothing against veganism, nothing against vegetarianism. I'm not vegan.
No.
So I make sandwiches that I would eat.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, I also don't know where to start when it comes to veganism and like making a good vegan
sandwich.
Not with
me, I suppose.
Because, yeah, exactly. Because I would just... Exactly. Yeah, not with me.
Disgusting.
Yeah. But I just make a normal sandwich and then just take the meat out.
Yeah.
But that's
sure.
this, and yeah. I get why vegans kind
of use one of those fake horrible substitute meat.
Yeah,
that's taste of shit.
Yeah,
not great.
I'm kind of trying to stay away from that if I can.
Where's the best sandwich you've sort of eaten outside your own creations?
That's quite.
Like, I was just in Bologna.
Really?
And they do an amazing sort of like squacquerone cheese and mortadella sandwich.
Yeah, I want to try one of those like sort of half folded with the cheese in. Stick the bits in after. Yeah. I haven't had one of those yet.
Or were you like Gabriel Waterhouse, one of our guests who just doesn't rate other people's food?
No.
He came on air and he said, "I go to other restaurants; they're pretty shit."
I think like when
better
I
than them.
Yeah,
yeah.
When I was younger, I think with less disposable income, eating out wasn't really a thing for me. So if I wanted to eat something nice, I would make it myself.
So
I do have a little bit of a rule at the moment. Well, I think probably until I die is that if I feel like I can make it at home, I won't order it.
Mm. Nice.
But you know,
what does that leave?
Curries?
Quite a lot.
You live in Tooting, right?
There's so many curries in Tooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curries, I wouldn't buy a curry if I were out unless I'm going to a curry house, obviously.
Yeah.
But
what
yeah.
What about Daddy Bao? Sorry, I'm just thinking about Tooting.
Yeah, stuff
you're
like.
Working the high street, aren't you?
Yeah. I think Daddy Bao's fucking good price wise. Or do you not? You don't like it?
I don't think I've been.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, sorry. I don't think I've been.
I thought you were death staring me about Daddy Bao.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
What about Juliet's? Do you ever go there?
No, not being.
Oh, you need to get out more. And
mate, honestly, I know. Like, it's almost a bad habit of not eating out. What I was going to say is that, like, sure. As disposable income has come around, I do eat out more. Now I see the value in it. Like, it's as much a social thing as it is, like, having some good food. But it's normally, like, Italian food that I always feel like I can make at home.
Yeah.
And I also feel like you get skimped. Mm. Like, you go and you buy some, like, ravioli or something. There's four of them in the bowl. And I'm like, I came here to eat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, 100%.
And you can kind of obviously see by the sandwiches. Like, that's the sort of quantity that I'm expecting, you know?
It's insane that you've grown 1.2 mil plus followers in basically a year.
Yeah.
Of your followers, who are your three favorite celeb followers? Come on, you must have some. I know you met Gordon Ramsay the other day. Was he a friend?
He was really great. I didn't bump into him. I poached him from the crowd in the middle of the venue at this event. And I was like, it's literally like I was a reporter introducing myself. I was like, "Fraser Searle from Sensational Sandwich. What's your favorite sandwich?" And it was all dark and loud. And I thought I got the shot. I literally recorded myself being like, "We fucking got it, baby."
Yeah.
And then I listened to it back and I was like, "I can't hear anything here."
Oh, no.
So I actually got chatting to two members of his team just randomly. And I explained to them that I've got the celeb series where I make celebs' favorite sandwiches. And they were like, "Fuck, we've got to make this happen." So she went over and tried to talk to one of his team. And as she did that, he was sort of chatting to his friends and family. So I kind of left him to it. But he turned from one person and no one was there. And I was like, "I'm the one who's going to be there." So I jumped back in and I was like, "Gordon, we literally just met." And he was like, "Yeah, you just asked me my favorite fucking sandwich with no warning." And I was like, "No, I get it. Like, massive question for someone like you. Sorry about that. But I've got my microphone. The audio is a bit rubbish. Can we shoot it again?" And he was like, "Yeah, do you want to go somewhere quieter?" So I was like, "Yeah,
well, like back to his or something."
Yeah, literally. Yeah, a couple of drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like, "We'll go out to the kitchen around the back." So it's me and his entourage that just sort of walked through everyone through these sort of closed off doors into this kitchen out the back, and I shot the video up where I was like, "What's your favorite sandwich?" We had a little bit of chat, about a minute long.
What was his favorite sandwich?
It's actually, I think, the sandwich that he's doing at the moment, the idiot sandwich. It's braised beef with grilled cheese and then pickled veg.
He's always on brand.
Always, which is great. Like, so it's now given me like, you know, a content series, like me making Gordon's favorite sandwich, and some opportunities as well. So that's great. Lewis Capaldi, he followed me when I was out for a pint with my little sister.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was like, well, I was like, one of those sorts of moments. Yeah. So I messaged him straight away and I was like, "Lewis, what's your favorite sandwich?" And he was like, I don't think he came back to me, in fairness. I know that he's sort of having a bit of time away, so I don't know if he would.
Yeah, might not have seen it.
Yeah, but I've sent him about four messages now and he's seen all of them and not replied, so.
Well, at least he's seen them.
He's seen them.
You take some warmth from that.
Channing Tatum has got to be the next one.
Yeah, so tell us about that. He messaged you saying, was it a steak sandwich or something?
Yeah, so it was actually after a rave and I was on my bed eating chicken from the chicken shop as my hangover cure. I was watching Dune on my iPad and my phone just buzzes as I'm mid-wing and it's just like, it just says Channing Tatum and then like the message. And I was just like, choking on my shirt. I was like, what the fuck has just happened? And I'd messaged him initially saying something like, I want to start a series. It'd be awesome if you got involved. And I think the first message he said was like, "Bro, that sounds awesome. I'd love to. I literally love what you do way too much." And I was like,
God. So sweet.
I was like, is this fucking Channing Tatum? I was like, is this real? I kept going to his account. Is this fucking real?
Sound like a Nepalese boy in a factory.
Yeah, exactly. maybe not exactly, but yeah, no. I know what what you mean.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just had a bit of back and forth. I was asking what his favorite sandwich was. He was talking about a McGriddle and then sort of my take on a McGriddle. So that's essentially what I did. He asked for a chicken, like a chicken parm basically, but I did one recently and I was like, oh, you've seen my videos. So I didn't make him the chicken parm. I did my version of his sandwich, which sort of started the train that we're on now of making celebs' favorite sandwiches. So a lot of my audience is global, so some of them they don't necessarily know. Like I did Proud Lock from Made in Chelsea. Yeah. That video did really well, but a lot of people are like, who the fuck's Proud Lock?
Yeah, niche.
I still feel like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think honest with you.
He's a big star.
Yeah, unless you're a trash TV boy like me when you were younger. Yeah. Then you probably...
used to be a great show. Maybe get Spencer Matthews on there.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Lang is an obvious next choice.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on to your drinks, because all this talk about sort of salty meats and cheese in between sandwiches has made me thirsty. What's your go-to cocktail? Ben, are you going to reveal a drink from your bag of...
I'm going to make a cocktail.
You're going to make a cocktail?
Oh, right now.
Wow. Okay, cool. What are you going to make?
Oh, what an eclectic selection of
what are you
going to
make?
This is Linford
equipment.
This is Linford Christie's favourite cocktail.
Okay.
Or at least I wrote that in a picnic book once.
Linford Christie's favourite cocktail. Well, when you set up, why don't you quickly tell us what your go-to cocktail is?
I guess it really depends on the time of day.
It's probably the
time of day, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, probably post-morning or... Oh, sorry, like Bloody Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I was about to say, do you have a problem? Because I do. And we could share. I'm only down the road in Streatham, so...
Yeah, we can go to AA together. Yeah, I'd say it's a Bloody Mary. It has to be to start. Like, on my ski season, that was what kept me going. Mm-hmm. On, like, you have your night off, you get absolutely blasted, and then you're back to work the next day. So a little Bloody Mary in the morning used to sort of knock the edge off.
Spicy as hell, or?
Yeah, Tabasco, like, and a lot of the seasonings too. Like, something that has actually become a little bit of a problem with me is the level of salt that I like.
Mm. That's okay.
It is 30. Until the doctor's like, you maybe need to go and take your blood pressure and like come in for some blood tests.
Yeah, I'm worried about the amount of sausages as well.
Yeah, so I've started cutting back on salt, and it's actually interesting because it's made me think about other ways of getting flavor into food. Like, it's really easy to just dash a gram of salt at something and now that thing tastes good. But if you kind of take that...
What is going to...
Is that chocolate milk?
We've got chocolate milk being poured over half pints of Guinness here.
Linford, right? Linford doesn't fuck around.
Linford does not fuck around at all. So this is Guinness and chocolate milk.
Yep.
I hope you shook the smoothie before you...
Yep.
Do you have any allergies, Fraser?
No, I don't.
Yeah, good.
No one's...
You're not like lactose intolerant.
Good to ask now, though.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so Bloody Mary, and then in the evening, what are you drinking?
I better check the brew, actually. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go on.
Check for seasoning. My mate makes a mean old fashioned.
Okay.
And when I say mean, we had a couple of them over his birthday last year, and I can't remember the night.
That's good.
Yeah, it was one of these.
Is that the only thing being taken that night? Or?
It actually was. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At that time.
Cheers, Fraser. Thank you for coming in, mate.
Of course.
Thanks to Linford.
Yeah.
What should I expect? Yeah.
Just a delicious cocktail.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
Just tastes like chocolate milk.
I suppose that's what Linford was going for.
It tastes like chocolate milk with something else, but that something else is missing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's a void in the taste, which is actually quite reassuring.
It's filled with Guinness.
Feedback should be sent to Linford, not to me.
Mm. At Linford.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Would I have another?
Don't know, would you?
I don't think I would get another.
If you were at a barbecue with Linford, and he said...
On a 32-degree summer's day in England, and I had a half Guinness, half chocolate milk.
Unbelievable.
But you are obsessed with chocolate milk, aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Guinness.
And with Guinness, yeah.
Literally ever since
I've
been to London.
But I want to subvert the Guinness obsessions of people.
Fraser, you said you do a lot of eating in. Sure. Tell us about when you have people around. What are you doing? You know, obviously you did 5 courses back in the day when you were chalet chef. But if you're having people around for a sort of a pre-supper canapé or a little snack, what are you putting out on the table for people to eat? Pre-supper, this is.
Getting like PTSD for cooking for those people.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
if I'm honest, it's a lot of Italian. It's Italian food. And I don't normally do like canapés. It would just be like a nice main and then a goo pot for dessert.
No, but what about like a snack? Like, do you put out a bowl of crisps or do you put out...
If people are waiting for food to come, I make my own guac.
Okay.
Make my own hummus. Just because they're just like unrivaled when you make them yourself.
Yeah.
And it's also cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for the quantities that I consume them in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be very much sort of like chips and dips. Make my own salsa as well. Because again, it's easy to chop up tomatoes and put some herbs in there.
100%.
But kind of, I guess that's sort of not really outside the box, is it?
No, it's good.
But you kind of want that. If people are coming over
and
start doing something really bougie, and then you just make some food and no one wants to eat it.
No, it puts them off as well.
Yeah.
What about your morning drink? You get up, you're you know, going to work, what are you having first thing? Hello. You have a chocky milk. Maybe a chocky milk and Guinness just to get the booze back.
Yeah, chocky
system.
Milk and Guinness first thing in the morning. Yeah. Me out. I got into like sort of making proper coffee recently. I used to do instant coffee just because I couldn't be arsed. And then I was like, actually, like just getting a little press and doing some decent coffee changes it. So the normal is a coffee and then a pint of water because I don't drink enough water. And
to start with.
First thing in the morning, just I get a pint of water in me and it just like, you know, it just changes things.
Yeah.
Like it changes my perspective of things, which is really weird to say. Like it probably doesn't make any sense, but it just makes you feel more like, I think it's also just like saying, you know, when you say you're going to do something and then you do it and then you just get that feeling, even something as stupid as having a pint of water in the morning, it then sets me up if I want to go for a run or whatever. I don't feel tired on that run because I've had that water at the beginning, which is probably a really dead answer.
It's
but
not,
like,
you're new to water in the
I'm
morning,
new to
you?
Water consumption. Obviously, we had the wonderful Ruben come on and say he did a sort of medium hot pint of water first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I've heard about
Japanese
hot water,
things. Yeah, and he's like, it's changed my life.
Yeah,
has it
so
changed
I'm
your
now,
life?
I'm now on that vibe. It has changed my life.
Yeah,
my gut has got better. My running, my split times are just incredible.
Really, coming down.
Yeah, they're coming down rapidly, and I just feel amazing. So thanks for asking, Ben. Thanks for checking in.
Well, no, I just saw there's an opportunity.
No, 100%. What about your go-to drink for a night out?
It's past the pub stage.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. It's gonna be vodka lemonade.
Yeah, really? Nice.
Yeah, like the 12-year-old that I am.
Okay.
I used to drink vodka and Red Bulls and stuff like that, but like there was this one time I literally remember it when I was at uni in Plymouth. I went to the Oceana there for the student night or something like that, and I had like 4 vodka Red Bulls. And on the dance floor, I was an absolute creature.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just so buzzing off of the Red Bulls. I was just doing doing stuff that I just wish I'd never done.
Like what?
Just being a twat, basically. Yeah. Like jumping around and being like that uni kid at the uni night out.
Yeah.
And from that point onwards, I was like, I'm not doing Red Bulls again. So
it's also anxiety the next day.
Yeah. Like the palps and like the fuck, what was I? Yeah. So lemonade is my normal go-to, and then vodka in there as well. Or gin. Like gin and lemonade is being a pretty strong one for me, which is such a random combination. I just like gin and I like lemonade.
Yeah,
and
put them together.
Yeah, exactly. You might guess that with my cooking as well. It's like, if I like that and like this, I'll just put them together. And then now that's the thing
probably
that I like.
Good, yeah.
Do you have any brand partnerships with like butchers or anything?
No, so there's one down the road from me that I'm trying to like grease.
Is it AC Water or what?
Huh?
Which one?
Oh, I can't remember their name.
Oh. Doesn't help.
It shows, it goes to show. But, you know, they just didn't really seem to have much of a... They weren't bothered, basically. Yeah. I told them what I was trying to do.
They probably didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But then some people don't. So you've got over 1.2 million followers, right?
Mm.
How do you monetize that? Like, what does that mean? I mean, obviously, you don't have to tell us figures. But, like, how do you make money? Every post, are you getting paid?
So on TikTok, yeah. But there's criteria that have to be met, and like it feels like a scam, basically.
Okay.
So they used to have like the creator fund, and now they've got this beta program. But the beta program has rules. So it's not if you get 1 million views, you get £1,000.
Mm.
It's like of those 1 million views, how many are actually views that we'll pay you for? And then of those views that we'll pay you for, how many are actually that we'll actually pay you for?
What are the criteria? They don't tell you.
They're called qualified views. So a qualified view, I don't really know what that means. Some people think it's 3 seconds of a video that someone watches. Some people think it's 5. Some people think it's from beginning to end. There's no real consensus, as is always the case with these platforms.
They can move the goalposts.
Exactly. And your RPM, which is what you make per 1,000 views, also changes. So like, I know people that have an RPM that's like 5 times as much as mine, and they're in the same industry. And I'm like,
why?
I'm like, what's going on then?
Yeah.
One of my friends, Kate Evans, she mentioned that when she uploaded a video that was less than a minute long, hers went down. So I was like, half of my videos are 17 seconds and the others are over a minute. So perhaps that's because of it. But yeah, TikTok, you get paid per video. Instagram, there's no payment whatsoever. It's so dead. But somehow it's like just the way it is.
Yeah.
Brands seem to much prefer Instagram to TikTok. So a lot of the collabs and partnerships that I've had have been on Instagram. That's obviously the next obvious way of making money, is through brands and partnerships. I've also got a website. So a lot of my recipes go up onto the website. The website has like different avenues of making money. I'm about to release some merch. I've got, you know, AdSense and stuff like that running on the site. Also just having partners that advertise on the website too.
What's the best collab you've done?
I'd say the one that I'm sort of happiest with, or the one that was like a sort of pinch me, was my M&S one. Just because, so you know, you grow up as a kid all those years, it's not just a whatever, it's an M&S,
whatever. Yeah.
And I start the video with, this isn't just a sensational sandwich, it's an M&S sensational sandwich. That's I was just like,
oh, how did they approach you? Instagram or?
Through my agent, yeah. Mm. So
we're looking for an in with M&S, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they got in touch with my agent and they wanted to do a piece over Christmas. So I put together the biggest sandwich to that day that I'd ever made, which they loved, which I was quite surprised at. I thought M&S might want something a little bit more refined, but they really loved the sandwich. And I guess that's kind of what you have to expect if you approach. That's what I hate is when brands approach you and then they want you to do what they want.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like, why are you working with me then? Like, just go and find someone.
Your audience.
Yeah, just go and, because, but that's the thing is that as soon as you upload that video, your audience isn't used to seeing that. So they're going to zone out.
Yeah.
You see it so many times. You can almost scroll through a creator's feed and be that's a sponsored video without even knowing it because the engagement is so much lower because the brand has tried to like create something that is just completely out of what you normally do. So 9 times out of 10, whenever a brand gets in touch, if the sort of initial conversations are around like creative freedom, then fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we can work together because that means I can do what I normally do.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of like, kind of like Labrador happy to be here type thing, rather than like, oh, we just want you for your name and audience, like you say, but we're going to make you do something completely different. That's just jarring, kind of.
I saw on your website, talking about your website, that you've got the sort of perfect picnic sandwich.
Yeah.
Topic which Ben's written another best-selling book on. Can you explain to us what is the perfect picnic sandwich for you? If you had to pick one, and then Ben, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay, cool. I would say the first off, it's got to be one that can travel because if it's a picnic, you don't know where you're going to stop necessarily.
Sure.
You know what I mean, a proper picnic is one where you just take some food out with you, you go for a walk and you might lay down wherever.
Yeah.
So my go-to would literally just be cheese, ham, and pickle.
Yeah, that's nice.
Like, I slice the cheese as well because I feel like you get more cheese that way than grating it. Grating it makes it look like there's more cheese in there, but there actually isn't.
There's loads of air.
So I end up slicing probably about half a block of cheddar, and then I'll do like 2 tablespoons of pickle because the last thing I want is any square inch or millimeter of my bread to just have the sauce and not the pickle.
Yeah, right.
You know, I go for the small chunk pickle, spread that on the bottom, slice cheese, 3 or 4 layers of ham. Bosh, there we go. Cut that diagonally as well, because when I'm having my normal sandwich, I cut it diagonally, not in half.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Ben.
That's good.
Congratulations.
So I'm very similar criteria.
Yep.
Probably the best picnic sandwich I've ever had. So I have a picnic toolkit that you're meant to carry with you at all times. I mean, I'm not carrying it now, but if I'm going on a picnic, so like sachets of stuff, so like mayonnaise and Tabasco. Have a little Tabasco that goes on my key ring.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. I often will have a pocket egg. So ooh. The greatest picnic sandwich I've ever had is like egg mayo. So we'd like crusty roll because that's like indestructible, but really nice and soft inside. Peel the egg, in it goes, mayonnaise, Tabasco.
Sort of. But you're making the egg mayo.
Yeah. Chop
on
it
side.
As you
on
go,
spot.
And then you're in. It's unbelievable.
That's insane.
That's like levels.
If you're into foraging, which I'm not.
I am. Again, not, yeah.
But often there'll be little bits of, you know, like
wild garlic
or, you can chop in there or some three-cornered leeks.
Wow. Dodgy mushrooms, depending
on. Bit of cress, mushrooms.
A bravey feeling. Well, talking about food, should we get some food out? Because I know we're relatively short on time, but we've got quite a lot to get through food-wise.
I just made my two sandwiches I like more than anything in the world.
Well, what are they?
A cucumber sandwich and a smoked salmon sandwich.
Oh, the classics. This is like being sort of having afternoon tea. It's absolutely wonderful.
I thought it'd be like sort of relaxing.
Yeah, I'm feeling very relaxed.
Nostalgic. Rather than...
Well, when you get those relaxing sandwiches out, why don't you tell us your go-to delivery order?
It is a chicken fillet burger.
Okay.
From Morley's, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, Morley's.
What does Deliver do, though?
Yeah, they
do. You've
got
the biggest Morley's in the world in Teating.
I played Ualapule last month for my birthday.
Mm.
Walked past it dressed as this chicken, which kind of resulted in a couple of laughs.
What is what you just said?
Ualapule.
Ualapule. Yeah,
nice. Well, I mean, so, I understand the French. Where is the
You dress. I think the idea is you dress up as a chicken, and then your friends have got to find you.
That's
and
right.
You're spending all their
cash.
Yeah. So the chicken gets 10. So everyone who plays gives the chicken £10, and then the chicken runs off with that money to a bar and stays in that bar drinking away the pot until everyone finds them. So we did it in Tooting. And yeah,
is this on your birthday?
Yeah.
So you spend the majority of your birthday on your own?
No.
Dressed as the chicken.
So for some reason,
the
entire group had got it in their head that I was going to be the chicken, whereas my intention was for someone else to be.
Right.
So on the day, I was like, if I'm going to be the chicken, I'm taking someone with me. So I took one of my best buddies with me and we sat there and drank.
Smart, otherwise.
Yeah, because I'm not spending my birthday alone. Drunk,
I love a cucumber sandwich.
I was also quite pleased because I know you're big into the, what do you call it? Cut through.
Dude, I was going to say, like, the layering of the cucumber is thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's nice to see.
But look at that, and it was cut through. Is that camera can pick that up?
I think cross-section's the word.
Cross-section.
Yeah, that's...
There you go. Anyway.
What about the dish you cook the most midweek?
A chorizo, chicken, pasta, sometimes a little bit of ricotta, basil.
What about a go-to three-course dinner party? I mean, you want to impress people here.
Yeah,
that's your easy midweek meal. But I'm now saying three courses. The girlfriend's coming round.
Mm.
She's bringing the family. I mean, this
the whole family,
the whole of them,
the whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Okay.
Bad.
I think you're going to test my sort of knowledge of what like good food is here.
It doesn't have to be good. It's what you cook.
Whatever you like.
You're the guest.
I would start with like, is starting with cheese and crackers a little bit rogue?
No,
that is rogue. Brazilians start with cheese.
Mm. At some point, cheese and crackers are being consumed 100%. Like I'm
just doing it the Brazilian style. That's fine.
I'm a savory dessert kind of guy.
Okay.
So cheese and crackers. I'd actually go for like a courgette and brie soup to begin.
Nice.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that I made on my season, and it was just a staple. Like so, just so
always
so
a
nice
crowd pleaser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you ever have any problems on your ski season with the cooking? Anyone ever complain?
Yeah.
We had Amelia Krista Miller on from Bold Bean the other day. She said she nearly killed them all, the skull at once. Or she killed herself with it.
There was, so what was interesting is when we had celiacs, and I say in inverted commas because there's a lot of people that just like to be a problem.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if they want to feel special or what, but they would be like, oh, and by the way, I'm a celiac. So like, so we'd say to them, we'd be like, we've, you know, deep cleaned the entire kitchen. We've got a new toaster. No toast. There's going to be no gluten toast in this whatsoever. And they'd be like, cool, thank you, that's great. And then later in the evening, we see them going into the honesty bar, and we're like, oh, those beers aren't gluten-free. And they'd be like, oh, it's all right, I can have a beer. And at that point, it's just like, just put fucking gluten in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
my brother's a celiac, shout out to Gus. He actually is a real one.
Real life.
Yeah, my mate's little brother is as well.
Yeah, I've seen him have a beer before, though.
Oh, really?
Or is that my mate, Harry? No, that's my mate, Harry, who's also celiac, but just a complete nightmare. Anyway, what about, let's talk about, you know, talking about beers. Actually, we haven't even finished your three-course dinner, though, have we? I'm getting ever excited. I think it's the chocolate milkshake.
Yeah.
Go on.
Right, then I'm going to go with a duck for the main. So it'll be a duck breast, peppered. Obviously, we do a little bit of slicing on the fat, skin down, fry it in the oven. And polenta, like a cheesy polenta with
hard
that.
Hard to get right at times, polenta. Can be a cruel mistress.
It is, yeah.
It's a cruel mistress.
I never like it hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's chips, very much more like a mash version.
Yeah.
Like put some cheese in there, some cream in it, bang in, and then tender stem broccoli, and then a little jus with the with the duck fat or the duck juice.
Spoiling it.
And then for the final, like, if it's not cheese and biscuits, it'd be a banoffee pie. Dude, banoffee pie makes me do things.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Like I'm not a sweet person when it comes to desserts, but banoffee pie. Every time.
I find it too much.
Fuck off.
That's probably...
I'm sorry. I do. It's too
Grow
much.
Grow up.
It's too much sugar.
There Grow is a up. Lot of sugar in it. Yeah. My girlfriend literally made it for me the other day, and there was about this much of the sort of caramel.
Yeah, the good bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like looking at it, and I was like, that's probably more than I would put in, but I ate it, and I was like, other than the heart palpitations I got, I didn't regret it.
You were fine.
What about hangover cure? I mean, banoffee pie is a wonderful way to round off a meal, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your hangover cure? You know, you have one of those big nights, Channing Tatum's just messaged you.
Mm.
I'm guessing it was the wings you were eating in bed, was it?
I mean, that's kind of like, you know, I've missed breakfast, I've missed lunch, I've just got back from wherever we are, and it's 3 p.m. kind of thing. But if I'm at home, then like something spicy, I might try spicy noodles. I don't really eat breakfast. I like normally skip and just go to lunch. No, because I started doing intermittent fasting.
New report out about that. Apparently, it's actually very bad for you.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, it's a bad time to break your heart.
What's the problem with it?
Apparently, it's bad for the heart. Yeah. The heart just read the.
It's better to read the report
rather than just the headline.
I was going to say because
taking people down.
Yeah, sorry.
For me, I found it meant that I could eat pretty much what I want to eat and exercise as much as I do, which is, you know, a normal amount.
Yeah.
Without getting absolutely like clarted, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I normally miss breakfast and then just have something like lunchy around 11 or midday.
But what is that?
It would be noodles, like some spicy noodles or something like that.
That's a recurring theme.
It's like 4 minutes, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
I kind of like mine wet as well rather than dry because I like to have like spicy soup after.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about the spice, but
it's crucial.
Yeah, it just does stuff.
What,
will you put the link to the intermittent fasting?
I was going to say, where's your source
of the podcast?
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I will become an intermittent faster. Yeah. what food reminds you of being a kid? That one dish when you think back, beans. Your mum, your dad, some cooking
beans on toast.
Really?
Which is something that I still eat to this day, but like they just get a little bit more exotic each time.
Mm. I got sent, are you an adder? You put.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because they started taking sugar out of the beans and they started making them basically taste shit.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing that. It's pissing me off.
So what are you using now? What beans?
Still Heinz.
Okay.
But they're like the 30% less sugar.
Yeah.
And I can't find.
30% more sugar.
Yeah. I can't find like the original ones. So I got sent some sources a while back.
It's like illegal dealers on the market somewhere with the original Heinz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some like opened and added sugar, resealed tins of Heinz. Excuse me. I got sent some sources a while back. So I've sort of been playing with like paprika and a bit of cayenne and then a couple of these like smoked sriracha type sauces. Bit of ketchup as well. Like honestly, basically anything to get that sugar back in there, because when they take the sugar out, you don't realize what you're missing.
Yeah. Mm.
So you stick it back in and now you kind of got these, I'm not going to lie, like I get it. Like fucking with beans is kind of like blasphemy in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Like beans are beans and that's what they're good for. But yeah, since they started taking sugar down on them, I've found different ways of making them taste better.
Yeah.
See, Americans just don't get it at all. Like a lot of the people on my, I did a vote because I'm doing this British sandwich series at the moment. And it was a vote between fish and chips and a baked bean sandwich. The baked bean sandwich is a very like, sort of top level sell of what it actually is.
Yeah.
And it was like 90%
fish. But what is it? Just quickly take us through what's in it.
It's not, I mean, it's not live yet. That would be, that's exclusive. That's an exclusive.
Okay. When's it going live?
It's sausage and beans, but sandwichified.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that. We'll put another link to that. There'll be a lot of links in the bio of this podcast, just as a warning.
Yeah. Chuck my affiliates in there if you can as well.
Yeah, I will do.
What's your favorite meal deal combo?
Oh, fuck. This is going to get me in trouble.
Why?
Go on.
Prawn mayo.
Good.
That was yours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it receives a lot of...
People don't like it.
Prawn mayo mixed with what? What do you mix it with?
Well, it just comes in the sandwich.
No, sorry. What do you pair it with?
So I get prawn mayo, grab bag hula hoops, and then a Pepsi Max.
Classic hula hoops.
Yeah, salted as well.
Yeah, nice.
They're fucking good.
Yeah, nine times out of ten, they're the giant hula hoops. Which I kind of like, actually, because I'm not like fussing around with trying to grab them from the bag. Yeah. I actually just grab the full.
Talking about salt, those are still perfectly salted in my view.
Yeah, they are perfectly salted.
And that is, hula hoops don't mess around.
No, they don't.
Yeah, to the end of two salty.
Which was unsalted, like accidentally unsalted.
It's squares. Squares are the like OG crisp that throughout all of the years of reduced fat, reduced this, they've just said, fuck it. Yeah. Because like I eat into a squares and I'm just like, that is pure flavor.
Yeah.
It's absolutely banging. The salt and vinegar ones knock your socks off.
Yeah.
What about the go-to item which is always in your fridge? The one thing which is always there?
Does milk count?
No. Well, does it? I suppose it does, actually.
Depends what you're into.
Yeah.
I think it would probably be like some cheese, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I'm quite a cheesy boy.
Yeah.
Cheese goes well with pretty much everything that I eat.
Correct.
But it's definitely towards the more mature side of the cheddars.
Okay.
Like the purple cheeses, the extra mature. The Cathedral City one as well.
Talking about mature, you're maturing, you're making more money, you're eating out more, and that's why we're moving on to your go-to locations.
What a segue.
That's good, right?
Well, yeah.
That's why they pay them the big bucks.
That's why they pay them the big bucks. What's your go-to weeknight restaurant? You say you don't get out much in Tooting, but there must be one place.
Maybe
not in Tooting, in London, in England, anywhere. In Scotland, in Germany.
Could be Bristol.
There's one called the Nectar Inn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not in London, but it's just this nice little...
It could be anywhere.
Nice little spot up Gloucester Road towards the top. It's one of those sort of first come, first serves. So when you get there and there is a seat for you, you're like,
got it.
I've only got let down once and that was enough for me to be like, I'm getting here early enough next time.
Yeah.
Mm. And they would just, the breakfast that they would serve, it was like your classic kind of like bougie breakfast with like kale and stuff. But the kale was fried and then they had this like orange, I don't even know what the sauce was. It was just orange sauce that they'd stick all over it. You'd have these beautiful, I'm like just imagining it in front of me right now, these poached eggs, beautiful on top that you cut into and the yolk goes everywhere. Avocado for days, well-seasoned, crispy sourdough underneath. That was the thing as well. I did it in one of my videos. They put the Parmesan, like they grill Parmesan and they stick the bread on top of it. So it then sticks to the bread. So then you've got like the Parmesan grilled, like, slice of bread, they'd stick that underneath the toppings, and that was a hangover cure, to say the least, as well. Yeah, it was really good.
What about your favorite place for a special supper? You celebrating an anniversary or a new following milestone?
There's this new pub, I think it's called like the Princess or something like that in North London, and it's just got quite like a, this one seating area is a bit of a greenery, so it's got sort of like conservatory roof into a little garden that you can sit out, and it's cute out there. And the food was really nice. I actually ended up getting Italian food there because everything else just didn't really tickle my taste buds, but it was decent.
Yeah,
I wish I could remember the fucking name of it.
What about your go-to pub?
The Leather Bottle. It's just down the road from me in Tooting. They've just had a refurb as well and got this massive beer garden. There's also the Wandle as well in Ellesfield. Basically anywhere good for sports. Because that's the thing, I think in London, you're trying to find somewhere that does sports. Number one, you can't really find if they're going to play your game, or they might play rugby, they might play football. The Wandle, every single time, is just exactly what you want to watch. And they've got this big outdoor bit at the back as well that you can sit out in, two telly screens at the end. Because I find a lot of pubs that do sports can sometimes do it really badly.
And El Fresco sport watching is the nicest thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Especially as we're getting into the summery time of year. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how much I'm buzzing for just being able to sit outside and watch the Euros.
What's the one that everyone's going on about at the moment?
What, in Soho?
Devonshire.
Devonshire. Yeah. Everyone's buzzing about that.
Yeah.
I went there for a pint and I was like, it's a good Guinness, but maybe it's me. Maybe I don't know the difference between a good or a bad Guinness, but
I'm just not a fan of people that go like, it's a good or bad Guinness.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Just have a fucking Guinness.
Fucking Guinness.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so people say
you're going to be hunted down.
I know, but I'm sorry, but like
people who started drinking Guinness this time last year are going to hunt you down because they're obsessed with it. And
I know.
I've definitely had like a shit Guinness. Like, I do, you know, the test.
Was it when someone put chocolate milk in it?
Yeah. Yeah,
that is an I drank mine in fairness.
Yeah, you did.
The one test that you do, and you tip it, and if the foam like clings, then it's a good Guinness or something like that. Or if it's like, if it gets cloudy in the glass, it's like, I'm not a fucking connoisseur, you know what I mean? Like,
relax.
So like I've been there, rate the pub, it was a nice vibe, but the kind of hype that it's got, it's a Guinness at the end of the day. I haven't eaten there though. I heard the food's really good. Yeah.
Tell us about your dream long weekend getaway and what you'd be doing.
Mate, I'm big into cars. So we'd start in the UK and we'd road trip like as far as would make sense within a long weekend. If you could make the south of France in a long weekend, something like that, get down to the Riviera.
About 13 hours of driving.
Yeah, but 13 hours of driving when you're doing 200 miles an hour is probably not too bad.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah, and just like...
Probably want to go to Germany on the Autobahn.
Yeah, I've always...
Legally go that first.
Yeah.
I've always thought... So whenever you finance a car, they always say 30-day money-back guarantee. And I've always wondered, like, just go into a supercar dealership.
Take it for 30 days.
Finance the car and then just take it back.
Yeah.
And it's just essentially like a free rental.
That's a very good idea.
Like, why don't people do that? There must be
We'll clip
reason.
That up and ask the audience.
Make a great little video. Like, Mr. Beast rather than Samson.
Can you tell us what's next for you?
I think being able to supply sandwiches to Hungry Sandwichers is the next step, yeah.
Does that mean a restaurant?
It means a place to buy the sandwiches.
Wow. How far along is that?
There's a lot of conversations happening at the moment, which are very interesting conversations. As you can imagine, there's like what I've been able to grow is like a franchise as well.
Mm.
So that's why kind of people are basically trying to get their part of it.
Yeah.
And they want to sort of offer this, we can do this, we can help do this for X amount or whatever. So there's conversations happening around that. I was looking at a space last week. On South Bank as a potential first spot for a sandwich shop.
Amazing.
But it's got to the point where so many people are like, where can I get one of these sandwiches? And also I tell people and they're like, oh, and you sell them? And I'm like, no, I just make them in my kitchen. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, and you make money? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what?
How does that
work? Maybe you don't need the kind of drama of opening your own place.
No, that's the commitment. Mm. Like, but at the same time, I also feel like there's a bit of like some justice owed to everyone that has ever watched one of my videos.
What would be your sort of number one OG sandwich? Maxi Sandwich Shop has the ham, egg and chips. What would yours be?
I think, well, you know, it won best sandwich in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I would have to kind of do that. But other than that, I did a really bougie club sandwich a couple of weeks back. The only reason that I'd be hesitant is because Gordon Ramsay, when I asked him his favorite sandwich, he's like, it's not a fucking chicken club.
Really?
Or chicken club. Someone commented that as well. He's like, it's not a chicken club. It's just a club. You don't have to say chicken. And I was reading the comment and I was just like, fucking, I'll go for a walk.
Yeah. Take a breath. Yeah.
To be what, chicken lettuce under bacon or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Chicken lettuce. Exactly. Yeah. So you don't need to say the chicken. And I was chicken just like, club. Dude, like, does that fucking matter?
Oh, yeah. What a sad world we live in.
But I think it would be a club because everyone knows what a club is, and the one that I made, I was absolutely buzzing with it. I did like a sun-dried tomato paste instead of just chopped tomatoes, put some Parmesan in there, some white truffle oil. Ooh. Just made it absolutely pop. Yeah.
Well, Fraser, you've got an incredibly exciting future. You've done wonderfully well to get to where you are now, especially after the craziness you went through with the clothing company and all those wonderful different experiences. We really appreciate you coming here and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, of course.
And we're just going to finish off by asking, of everything you've mentioned, all the little dishes, the sandwiches, the curries, everything, if you could save three items, what would they be?
The gin and lemonade, the pasta, and the lamb sandwich.
I was about to say, didn't you make the best sandwich in the world?
Yeah, I would say save the best till last.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, the pasta and then the lamb sandwich.
Well, that's a wonderful combination. Fraser, thank you so much for coming on, mate. Those are your go-tos. We hope to see much more of you in the future.
Nice.
Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Guys, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment. It really does help us, as we said last week. And we will see you all again next week. Until then, Fraser, those are your go-tos.
Cheers, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Nice one.